Welcome to what would be the worship service of East End Baptist Church for April 5th, Palm Sunday. This is our third Sunday under quarantine with the coronavirus, but we are so glad that we can connect to each other through the Word of God right here from the beautiful sanctuary of East End Baptist Church in Brooklyn, New York. Today, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 12, verses 12 to 19. And I'd like to read this text for our consideration today. John chapter 12 and verse 12. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it. As it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "You see that you're accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Let's bow together in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for the privilege to study the Word of God together. Thank you that you have given us your word for our instruction, our salvation, our edification. And Lord, we pray that you would bless these moments together in the Word of God. And Lord, show us our need. If there's anyone who's not yet trusted Jesus to save them, show them their need to trust in Christ. If there's a discouraged believer, lift them up, encourage them. We pray the Word of God will be living to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today I would like to continue the series dealing with fear, but in a different way. Today is Palm Sunday. That is, thinking of tomorrow, today. Palm Sunday. And I know that we're quarantined and it may not seem like tomorrow is Palm Sunday, but it will be, and this is Palm Sunday weekend. So in the study of Don't Be Afraid passages, I see that there is one recorded in the Gospel of John that took place on Palm Sunday. And so it got my attention for this occasion this weekend. Remember, there are 24 times in the New Testament where we have the formula, "Do not fear." And 19 of the 24 occurrences are in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Almost 80% of the "do not fear" passages are in the Gospels. So the one we study today is a quotation from the Old Testament in the Gospel of John. It comes from the Lord God of Israel. It comes by the Spirit of God through the Apostle John in the Gospel of John. And so today I would like you to consider with me the wonder of Palm Sunday. Why is Palm Sunday a wonderful day? The title of the message is "Don't Fear the King." Don't fear the King. So let's walk through this passage, study it together. And I would like to answer the question, why is Palm Sunday a wonderful day, in six ways. First of all, in verses 12 and 13, Palm Sunday is a wonderful day because of the actions of the crowd. Verse 12, "The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Notice with me here in verse 12, it says on the next day, that takes us back to chapter 12, verse 1, then 6 days before the Passover. So 6 days before the Passover, now John is saying the next day. It puts us to Sunday, or the first day of the week that we often call Holy Week. It was on that day that a great multitude had come to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. They had gathered for the feast. And it says that they heard that Jesus was coming. When they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, so word got out that Jesus was also coming into Jerusalem. In the first part of chapter 12, where is Jesus? It says he was in Bethany. This was the home of his dear friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead in chapter 11. So word was getting out that Jesus of Nazareth had raised Lazarus of Bethany, and they wanted to meet him. They wanted to see him. So they heard that he was coming to Jerusalem, and here's what they did in verse 13. They took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. They took up palm branches. I'd like to share a quote from the Net Bible. It says, the Mosaic law stated, Leviticus 23:40, that branches of palm trees were to be used to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Later on, they came to be used to celebrate other feasts as well. Well, the feast that was about to happen here in Jerusalem was the Feast of Passover. But let's go back to Leviticus 23 and see this very interesting verse. Leviticus 23 and verse 40. And here we see these words. You shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Now that was specifically for the Feast of Tabernacles. But if our note is true, then these festival times would also have the waving of other branches and palm branches and leafy trees, even on other feasts, as this was the Feast of Passover. So if that's the historical connection to the book of Leviticus, it's even more interesting to note. So they took up these branches, and then I noticed these words. They went out to meet him. They didn't wait for Jesus to get to the city. They went out to meet him. And they're waving these palm branches, these leafy branches, and they're crying out something very special. They're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Well, what is significant about Hosanna? Literally, it means save now. It is a Hebrew or Aramaic expression that means save now. And it goes back to the Psalm 118, we find this. And this was a messianic psalm. This was sung at the Passover. And notice here, Psalm 118, verse 25, save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. See the word save now? That's where we get from the Hebrew, Hosanna, Hosanna. And notice what it says in verse 26 of Psalm 118. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. So here is a messianic psalm, and the people were waving the palm branches, and they were crying out Hosanna, indicating their hope that this was the Messiah. It was a messianic term, a term of hope for the Messiah. And here it may have been in their minds that they were looking primarily for political deliverance. You see, Israel was under the bondage of Rome at this time, and it could be that they were not so spiritually minded as they were politically minded, wanting to be free from the bonds of Rome. And so they cried out, "Hosanna," in that manner. But notice what else they said. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Blessed is the Messiah when he comes. He is blessed, and we bless him. So I think the people here had great expectations of Jesus of Nazareth, who had raised the dead, who had raised Lazarus. But at this point, I'm not so sure that their hopes were so spiritually directed. They seemed to be, perhaps we could even say, a bit selfish, wanting their own comfort, political comfort. Well, here is the quote that is common. And by the way, this account of Jesus' entry into the city of Jerusalem is in all four Gospels. All four Gospels contain this. But notice this detail that John adds here in verse 13, the last phrase, "the King of Israel." So they were expecting a Messiah to come, and those who were godly Israelites, those who had studied the scriptures or listened to the scriptures, knew that one day Messiah was coming. They were anticipating a Messiah, and they were understanding that he would also be king. And so John adds that here, "the King of Israel." A remarkable claim here about the coming of the Messiah. And indeed, Jesus is all of this. He is Messiah. He is blessed. He comes in the name of the Lord, and he is the King of Israel. They proclaimed him this day as king, but I want you to notice just 7 chapters later in John 19 what is said by the leaders of the nation of Israel. John 19 and verse 15. Just a few days later, Jesus is standing before Pilate, and he says to them on John 19, verse 14, "Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the 6th hour," so it was around noon, "and he said to the Jews, 'Behold your king.'" What had they said in chapter 12? "The King of Israel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And Pilate says here, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priest answered, can you understand the gravity of these words? "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. From Hosanna, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel," to "crucify him. We have no king but Caesar." This is what happened on the day we call Palm Sunday, the actions of the people. Their praises turned to curses in just a few days. "Crucify him, crucify him." Well, now let's go back to John chapter 12. And I want you to notice the presentation of Jesus in verse 14. John 12, 14. "Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written." The other Gospels give more details about the procuring of the donkey. Apparently there was a colt and his mother. And it says, "Jesus found a young donkey. He sat on it, as it is written." He found a donkey because he's coming to the people humbly. He's coming humbly. It is so interesting to me that here he comes humbly, not as a conqueror, But look at John's writing in the Revelation 19 and verse 11. And notice what it says here. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want you to notice that Jesus did not come that way this time. He came on a donkey, not on a white horse. He came in peace. He came humbly. May I say that if we do not receive him coming in peace and humility and sacrifice for our sins, that we will face him as the mighty conqueror? Today is the day to bow to the King, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says he found the donkey and he sat on it and he fulfilled prophecy. Notice these wonderful words back in John 12, verse 14. The last part of the verse, as it is written. I love this. As it is written, as it stands written in the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, it stands written there. So Jesus fulfilled prophecy. He did this just as it is written. What a wonderful word. As, according as it is written. The Old Testament predicted this event in the life of the Messiah, and Jesus fulfilled it. He fulfilled it. He was well aware of this day and the meaning of it. Well, then I see the third reason why Palm Sunday is so wonderful. The witness of Scripture. The witness of Scripture. Not only the work of Jesus and what he has done, but the witness of Scripture. In verse 15 it says, and John gives us the quote, "Fear not, daughter of Zion." Now in my Bible, this verse is in italics and it's indented. Each line is indented to indicate that John is quoting from the Old Testament. It may or may not be that way in your edition of the scriptures, but this is a quote from the Old Testament. "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." The witness of Scripture here. So from where is John quoting? Go back to the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament. It's the second to last book in the Old Testament. So you can go to Matthew and take a left and go back two books. Back to Malachi, back one more to Zechariah, and go to chapter 9 and verse 9 and look what we find here. Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." You see the words there? "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem." John is quoting from Zechariah 9, verse 9. But you may say, but wait a minute. That's not how John starts out. In John 12, verse 15, he says, "Fear not, daughter of Zion." In Zechariah 9:9, if you just compare them, he says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." Does that mean that this is not written? When John says, as it is written, no, it does not mean that. I think that John must have compiled two Old Testament texts in his quotation here in verse 13. He is drawn from two texts. Fear not comes from one text, actually perhaps more than one, and the rest of it, daughter of Zion, your king is coming, that comes from Zechariah 9:9. So bear with me here and go with me in your Bible to Isaiah 35:4. Could it be that John was quoting from Isaiah 35:4 when he said, fear not? Look at Isaiah 35 and verse 4. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. And notice the next words. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Isaiah speaks here of that future reign of Jesus, and he says, do not fear. John is telling us about the first entry of Jesus as king. He uses that phrase, but then he goes to the rejoicing of Zacharias. Now, it's possible that it also came from Isaiah 40, verse 9, the fear not quotation. Look at Isaiah 40, verse 9. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift your voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. Isaiah 40 also points us ahead to Jesus' future reign on this earth as king, and it has the phrase, be not afraid. Could John have been quoting from that passage? Very possible. And then there's one more that I think is a possibility. Look at Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And if you go back to Zechariah, then you need to go back a couple of more books and you'll come to Zephaniah. Go to Zechariah, take another left, go back, Haggai, and then Zephaniah. Look at chapter 3, Zephaniah chapter 3, and notice verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you in his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. All three of these passages are just wonderful in the Old Testament. And notice they have to do with God's future kingdom on this earth. They have to do with telling the people of God not to fear. So I believe it's very possible that John was thinking of one of these Old Testament texts, the fear not, and those prophetic texts that had to do with Messiah's reign on this earth one day. And he compiled it with Zechariah 9:9 to give us, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming. It certainly fits here as the king comes into Jerusalem. And notice, indeed, all of these passages were written beforehand. So it is very accurate. As it is written, yes, indeed, over and over, it is written, fear not, fear not, fear not. Isn't it interesting that he chose to add fear not in the place of rejoice greatly? Think about this. Isn't rejoice greatly another way of saying fear not? How can I fear when I'm rejoicing in the Lord as I should? During the week on Facebook Live, we have been doing a little devotional from the book of Philippians. Philippians is an epistle of joy. What a wonderful antidote to fear. Instead, looking up and setting our hearts and our wills on Christ and rejoicing in Him. It seems as though that's what John did here. Rejoice greatly. Fear not, daughter of Zion. He speaks to the people of Jerusalem. Notice this phrase, daughter of Zion. That's a nice way, a poetic way of speaking to the inhabitants that were in Zion. Zion was an area of Jerusalem, or sometimes it referred to the whole city of Jerusalem. So what he's saying here is, don't fear, rejoice, you inhabitants of Jerusalem. They had no need to fear. The king was coming in peace and for salvation. Zechariah 9:9 was a messianic prophecy of a king coming, and it says here that he's coming sitting on a donkey's colt, coming humbly and coming peacefully. There we see the powerful witness of Scripture, and Jesus was fulfilling these passages. Now, let's see the fourth reason that Palm Sunday is a wonderful day. The discovery of the disciples, chapter 12 and verse 16. And John very honestly says here, his disciples did not understand these things at first. I don't know if John is excluding himself because he was one of the disciples, or he was just speaking sort of anonymously and he was also considering himself as not really understanding all of this at first. But notice this, verse 16. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him. So the disciples were ignorant at first. At the time, they didn't understand all of this. It didn't all fit together in their minds what was happening with Jesus. But John gives a very special term here. They remembered after Jesus' glorification. So what is his glorification? It's this. Jesus died. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. The Holy Spirit then was given, and the disciples then remembered. Jesus' glorification was the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. Notice here in verse 23 of John 12, Jesus answered them saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And what will happen very shortly after this? Jesus will be nailed to a cross, placed in a tomb, then he will rise again, and then he will ascend to heaven. So the glorification of Jesus is what triggered, shall we say, the disciples' memory, and they begin to fit these things together, I think in large part because of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their lives. You go back to chapter 7 and verse 39, we see this. Jesus, but thus he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Spirit of God was not yet given because Jesus had not yet ascended to the Father. Look at John 14 and what Jesus promised here. John 14 and verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Isn't this great? Jesus told the disciples before his death that when I go back to the Father, I'm sending to you the Holy Spirit, and he's going to remind you. He's going to bring to your remembrance the things that I've said to you. So now they have remembered the Scriptures. the things that had been written about Jesus because they had the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They remembered and they connected with the scriptures the things that were done to Jesus the Messiah. The last part of verse 16 says, they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. That these events had happened to Jesus, that the people had done these things to the Lord Jesus. They began to correlate Jesus' life and ministry and his claims with the Old Testament scriptures. I challenge you, if you happen to be a skeptic listening to this, that you would go to the Gospel of John and tell God, God, I don't know if this is true, but I want you to show me. And begin to read the words of Scripture here and look for evidence that Jesus is exactly who he said he was. And pray that God will make it all come together in your mind. And if you're not of a state to pray yet, just read and read. And the Spirit of God will speak to your heart. Jesus said in John chapter 7, if anyone will do his will, he will know of the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or of him who sent me. To know that Jesus is truly from God, go to the words of Scripture and be convinced in your heart, in your soul. It all came together for these disciples, even though they had lived and breathed and had seen Jesus up close. They didn't get it at the time. But later when Jesus ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit came. It all began to make sense and they connected the dots. I want to tell you what a blessing we have to have as believers in Jesus Christ, the indwelling Holy Spirit to teach us the truth of the Word of God. Well, there's another reason why Palm Sunday is a wonderful day. Look at verses 17 and 18. I call this the verification of the people. Verse 17, therefore the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason the people also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. Among the multitudes of people greeting Jesus on Palm Sunday, there were the people who had witnessed Lazarus coming back from the dead. In chapter 11, that dramatic miracle of Jesus, that powerful truth claim where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. People that heard that, people that saw Lazarus come out of the tomb, they now are in this company of those saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were bearing witness of all of this. They were verifying what Jesus was doing on this wonderful day. Now there's another group of people as well, and they are in verse 18. For this reason, the people, the crowd, the multitude also met him, because they heard that he had done this sign. This sign relating back to Lazarus and Jesus raising him from the dead. So there were people who had witnessed the resurrection of Lazarus, and there were people that had heard about it. And both of them come together in this magnificent multitude and crowd saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They verified these things on this day. They verified that this indeed is an unusual man. He has raised the dead, and they called upon him as Messiah. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes, though many did not have saving faith at this point. Well, there's another reason why this is a wonderful day. It's because of verse 19. So in the glory of this day, you would expect that there would be some detractors. There would be some unpleasant people. Maybe we used to call them a sourpuss. And here is a group of unpleasant people scorning, mocking at this. And it says in verse 19, the Pharisees, they were religious leaders, but they had no use for Jesus Christ. They were intensely threatened by him. They were jealous of him. in chapter 12, verse 9, it says, a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests took counsel that they might also put Lazarus to death, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus. They were jealous of losing their power over the people of Israel. And so in order to get rid of the evidence, they were willing to kill Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. I wonder if it dawned on them that if Jesus made Lazarus come back from the dead, even if they killed him, if he willed, he could do it again. He could bring him back again. Well, they didn't do it as far as we know. There's no record of that, but it shows the attitude of their heart, the hatred that was there. Well, I call John 12:19 the frustration of the Pharisees. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, they were saying this, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Can you see them going to one another? Look, you're doing nothing. You're accomplishing nothing. They were getting on to each other, it seems. This is going nowhere, because they felt helpless. One translation says, you see that you are not doing any good. And then they felt overwhelmed, and they say, look, the world has gone after him. We're losing it here. Here's the great news. They could not stop the forward motion of the king. They could not stop the forward motion of the king. He will do his saving work. He went to the cross. He will reign over all his enemies one day. And people will be saved and follow him for eternity. Praise the Lord. And these religious leaders who were not right with God were frustrated. Why is Palm Sunday a wonderful day? Because of the actions of the crowd. Because of the presentation of Jesus. Because of the witness of Scripture. Because of the discovery of the disciples. When they discovered that Jesus' life matched the prophetic Scripture. Because of the verification of the people. They saw the miracle worker who had raised Lazarus ride in to the city in glory. And it's a wonderful day because of the frustration of the Pharisees when they say the whole world has gone after him. Well, the title of this message is Don't Fear the King. These words in the core of the passage, fear not, daughter of Zion, inhabitants of Jerusalem, fear not, your king is coming. And I want to say today, don't fear the king. Instead, trust the king in simple, childlike faith. Bow to the king. Understand that Jesus Christ came into that city on the day that we call Palm Sunday, so that on Friday he could hang on the cross for no sin of his own, but for my sin and your sin and the sin of the world. Bow to the King who became a suffering servant for you and for me. Acknowledge your sinfulness. A, admit your sin before God. B, believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. C, call on the Lord to save you. Go to God and say, God, I know I've sinned. I've violated your holy ways. But I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He died in my place. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, as I turn from my sins, I'm asking you to save me. I'm trusting in Jesus and only Jesus to save me. Bow to the King. He came in peace and humility. He came according to God's plan and prophetic Scripture. And he became a suffering servant to save. And I close with this. If we won't bow now, we will bow then and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So bow now. Let's pray together. Our Father, we praise you for this historic day, Palm Sunday, when Jesus presented himself humbly, meekly, as King to the people of Jerusalem, and Lord, to the whole world. We thank you that on Friday he was crucified, and that on the next Lord's Day, as we call it now, he was raised from the dead. We praise you that we celebrate the resurrected Christ. And oh Father, I pray that all of us, each one of us, will bow to the King. If there's anyone, Lord, who has not yet trusted Jesus to save them, wherever they are, Lord, I pray that they will acknowledge their sin and believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. I pray they will call out in faith on the Lord Jesus and they will be saved. I pray that every believer will be encouraged that our King brings us peace and that he is the King that's coming again and he will reign forever and ever. We submit to you today. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. God bless you, dear friend. Thank you so much for listening today.